This is Reuven Levy. We're at the Chutzal Chesed Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and we're learning the book Gan Hashalom. We are the Garden of Peace guide to a wonderful marriage, Bezrat Hashem. We're coming now to the end of chapter 4, where we've learned how to be a man, hopefully. Why do we learn how to be a man? Because Rav Arish told us that a person cannot put into practice the advice in this book if he's not a man. What does that mean? It means that I'm a giver. I'm a giver and not a taker. My job as a man is to try to always give. That's my job, that's my goal. I might not always achieve it, but that's still my goal. I have to know what the truth is. Truth is that the true position of a man is to give. With Selem Elokim, with the image of Hashem. Hashem is just giving. Hashem is not taking anything from no one. Right? He's just giving. A man, ideally, should be the same thing, should only be giving. Why do we take? Why do we feel like we're needy? Because we're fallen. We're fallen. Truth is, we should get all of our life force, all of our energy, all of our happiness, our pleasure, our life should be from giving. And that's true when a person gives. It's the best thing in the world to be able to give to someone. It's the best feeling. And I could do that all day long, but I forget. And sometimes I go for the easy route, which is to take. What does to take mean? To take physical pleasure, to take honor, to take whatever it is that I'm taking. And it's really the Yetzer Hara. But it's available, right? Hashem says, I put before you the good and the bad. Choose good. But I put before you the bad as well. And you can choose that, right? A person can choose to take instead. That's available. It's an option. We know it's an option. And it looks good. Looks like a good option. Looks like a tasty option. There's a chocolate bar in front of you, and there's a piece of wholemeal bread. Right? You should choose the wholemeal bread, but the chocolate bar looks very nice. And the chocolate bar is going to make me feel good momentarily. It's going to have bad repercussions, and it's going to have a bad side effect, and it's not going to be good in the long run. But in the short run, it looks like a good option. So too, the real place of a man is to give and to give, and that's really going to fulfill me, and that's going to make me very happy in the long run. But in the short run, sometimes taking looks like the easy option. Taking is to be a woman, and giving is to be a man.
That's the opposite of woman. About that we're giving, she accepts him.
The woman is there to receive, because I need someone to give to.
Sorry?
I need someone to give to. If Hashem created women as givers as well, then we'd all be looking around for who to give to. And one of the reasons, it's a little bit controversial, and it's not the topic at all, but one of the reasons the Gemara gives for the existence of poor people is that you need someone to be able to give to. Right? There needs to be a recipient somewhere, otherwise you can't give. Someone, the need to give charity to help people, so you need somebody to be able to receive that, otherwise no one to give to.
So all the mahout of women is to accept?
Yeah.
So how they can give, you know, to the babies, and they raise the kids, and if they, the mahout of only accepting?
It's a good question. It's not, in the terms of the marriage, her place is to receive. With the husband, she is the moon, and he is the sun. So regarding her husband, she should only be receiving. But regarding other people, for example, her children, she's now in a role of giver. She is in the role of giving food, giving love, etc. to her children. But that's fine, because it's not taking away. For example, the moon gives light. At night time, the moon gives light. It's not her light, it's the light of the sun. But she's still a giver. Right? She's not in that receiving. So too the woman can give out. The woman's only giving out what she's received from the husband. Really, it's that's the light that she's passing on. But her real essence is to receive, to be that recipient. So in order to fulfill the, in order to be able to deal with what the book asks of a husband, never to criticize his wife, always to put her in first place above me, right? That means I need to be a giver to do that. Right? Because we said that if I'm not a giver and I want to take, then I'm going to have to criticize. I need to have my dinner on the table at 6 o'clock. So I'm going to have to say something, it's not there. I'm going to have to criticize. I'm going to have to say, I need to have my shirts washed. So I'm going to have to say, I'm going to have to criticize, you didn't do my shirts. I've got needs, I'm taking. If I'm giving, just giving, then it doesn't matter. I don't need anything. I don't need to rebuke my wife because she can never do anything wrong. I haven't got a problem. Just giving. So we'll conclude the chapter on page 107. He concludes as follows. The sikum, in summary, we can say, Sheyesh b'kalaliot shalosh deragot shelbal. That in general, there are three levels for husbands. First, Misha hu zachar, person who is a man. The kriya chad pa'amit b'sefer zeh, one reading of this book, hu yilmad mahen ha'yitzot. He will learn what the advice is. V'yikayem otam b'kalut, and it will be easy for him to put it into practice. Va'af yitaneg aleihem, and he's even going to enjoy it. Me'achah v'hen lefitvo, because it will be according to his nature. A husband who naturally wants to give, when he reads this book, he's gonna have a very easy time with it. Great, perfect. This is exactly what I expected. You should never criticize your wife. Wonderful advice. You should always put her in first place. Fantastic. Love it. Great. Right, because that's part of his nature. Bet, second level. Mishinafal lebechina nekeva. Someone who's fallen to a level of being a woman. Aval mevinchu hu otzeh liot tocha. But he still understands that he wants to be a man. He's just fallen into a place where he's needed. Hasefer hazeh hu madrich moshlam bishvilo. This book is a complete guidance for him. V'im yomar bo, if he learns from it, v'yachazor alav pam b'chodesh, and he goes back and reviews it at least once a month, v'yishtadel l'kayem et ha'amor bo, and he tries to fulfill what's written in it, v'bevadai yizkeh l'shalom bayit, he's certainly going to manage to get to shalom bayit. Right? He wants to be there. I understand what you're saying, and I want to be there, but I've fallen sometimes, I've fallen into a place of acting like a woman and needing things, but I know where I want to be. So Rav Shalom says, if you read and review the book, you're going to get there. Everything's going to be good. And then we have the third case. Misha nafal kol kach lebenich b'chinat nekevah. Someone who's fallen very deep into being a woman, into thinking only about himself, being very selfish, his own needs, taking and not giving. Ad shalom asugal kaval ateklam. Until he's not able, he's not prepared. He's not prepared to give at all.
He's not able.
Well, it's not means he's not able. It means he's not prepared. It's still a choice. Not that it's EFSHA or lawyer or lo yachol. La sugal is that I'm prepared to. I think there's more. There's like a ratzon. It's a ratzon in there. There's a question of want. He's not prepared to do it. I'm not. The rat wants to lekabel, lekabel, lekabel. He only wants to take, to receive.
He's not willing.
Yeah, fair. Afilu hasefer haniflaze. Even this wonderful book, lo yazola. It's not going to help him. Ela im Kenya vin et habagam shelo. Unless he is willing to understand his own mistake, v'yatzchil lehit palel kol yom, and he's willing to start to pray every day, to ask Hashem, sheyizkeh oto liyot zachar, that he will merit to become a man. Va'ikar, and the main thing here, she'yavod al tikun ha-brit, that he works on tikun ha-brit, she'zo ha-mitzvah ha-ikarit, that this is the main mitzvah, she'ashayechet le-zacharim, which is corresponding to, appropriate for men. Dahainu, that means, li'palel v'lilmod la'avod, to pray, to learn, and to work, li'hitrachek mikol ni'uf, to distance himself from all forms of lust for women, v'afilu re'ach shel ni'uf, even the smell of it, kilu, hen mi'chutz la'bayit, hen mi'tocho, whether it's outside the home or inside it. V'yulmad heitev et ha'perek, and should learn well the chapter, u'pneim ish alachem, the chapter later on in the book called, and their faces were turned to each other. Right? Why? Why should he work on that? Because that's the root cause of him being a woman. We said last week that Rav Arash explained that the reason why in our generation many men have fallen into the category of being women is because they want to receive, they want to take. Where? Where's the root? The root of that is in the root of the physical or the lust for women that we want to receive. That's such a powerful desire. I just want to take, take, take. Right, and when I lose it over there, it's now going to creep in everywhere. Right, so I need to go back to the root of where it came from, that I wanted to stop acting like a man and start acting like a woman, and that was the root. If I deal with the root, then I won't have any problems elsewhere, because really, my nature, my true nature, my neshama wants to give, just wants to give, and it's just this yetzahara that's now filled up my head, which has turned me into imaginations of how good it is just to take, to receive. And that's what I need to get rid of. That's what I need to work on.
Is Torah study explicit? That doesn't count as receiving. Receiving from Hashem, I'm getting confused.
It can.
Okay.
Torah study and even doing mitzvahs can be taking. Can be, not always, but you can ruin it by take. Why? Because I'm doing it for myself.
Can be taking.
Taking. I'm doing it for my own honor. Look at me, aren't I good? Right? There are some people who are... a person shouldn't take this the wrong way. It's an example. It's an example. Don't take this the wrong way. You'll understand when I say how you can take it the wrong way. A person can learn Torah out loud, telling the whole Beit HaMidrash that I'm learning Zohar right now. And he's not doing. He's taking. He's my mash taking. He's not giving. Not that. Don't take that the wrong way. There are people who are learning out because it's a good reason there, right? But everything has its potential, right? So it's possible to learn Torah for the wrong reason. To be taking respect. To be taking honor. to doing mitzvahs. I hope everybody's watching my davening. Right? I'm checking to see everyone's right. That's doing a mitzvah. But that I'm taking, or I'm giving. Am I giving to Hashem? Am I trying to take honor and kavod and all the other things that I can take with it?
Someone who receives from Hashem, like someone who studies in order to teach, for example. As long as, I'm
getting,
like,
Ramchal. Again, that it depends why he's teaching. Right? So a person can learn in order to teach. It means that's very giving. I want to give. I want to teach. I'm not doing it for me. Or it can be to be a teacher and have the name teacher on my badge, right? That's not a good topic.
Such as getting, becoming a reform or conservative rabbi.
Not even, be an orthodox rabbi. Just be an orthodox rabbi that I get a lot of kabod for being a teacher, right? And I want people to be nice to me and look up to me and geography. Sounds good. Let's do it. It's great. It's not good.
If the person wants kabod,
yeah.
So it's, this is prina of nekeva.
It's wanting to receive, because I want to receive kavod. Right?
So, but about tefilat Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah.
Yerotzon lefanecha. Yeah. Chaim shel osher v'chavod.
Yeah.
Why we ask for the Kodesh
Baruch Hu? Because we ask for holy kavod. What happens? So a person, the Gemara, the Pirkei Avot, a person who runs after honor runs away from him. A person who runs away from honor comes after him. But that's good honor. So you say, why do you want honor if you're a person? You should not want it to write. No, it comes after you. It's good honor. It's healthy. It's kosher. We honor Rav Arush. It's very good. It's not bad honor that Rav Arush has. But it's kavod for the gedolim. It's kavod. It's holy honor. there's a different honor that a person there's everything has a good side, right? There's good anger l'shem shamayim, I'm zealous for Hashem, Pinchas, and there's bad, right? Everything has good and bad. So honor too, the one I look for is the bad one, there's a good one too. Yofi. It is correct. Remember. So Shin Lat Keshu, we should remember again, says Rav Arush at the end of this chapter. That a person should go over and review this book at least once a month. Umadubar al kolechad vechad. It's alright, but we keep going through this, it counts. Right? Umadubar al kolechad vechad. And this is talking about every person. Ukubar katavti. Shebaatmi. Chabati ala kavarim. Ein sof pamim. And I've already written, right at the beginning of the book, that I went over and reviewed the words, countless number of times. Vehilbeti behit bodadut. And I lengthened and increased my hit bodadut. Al kol nekuda nekuda, on every single point, Hakatuvah b'sefer is there written in this book. But gam hayom, and even today, Rav Arush writes, shiyesh li yoter sarot levanot b'zakan masher shakarot, that I've got more white in my beard than I have black, right? But yesh li nachadim, and I have grandchildren already, Baruch Hashem. Adayin ani mishtadel ma'od shelo ya'avo alay yom b'li tefillah shalom b'ayit, that I don't try to not let one day pass without praying on Shalom Bayit. That's Rav Arush that wrote the book and has children and grandchildren, and he still tries to pray every day on Shalom Bayit. She'argish hetevet saracha shlishti, that I will feel deeply the needs of my wife. Lo achzir mishti divan, I won't have leave any lacking to my wife. Right, I won't.
You can Islam.
I won't cause her any lacking. But lo a'ir la shum he'ra, and I won't comment or criticize her at all. I feel pata'ot, even my mistake. My person has to work on themselves a lot to not even by mistake. I wasn't thinking when I said that, sorry. My wife just says, by the way, did you like that fish that I made yesterday? Nah. Oh, and now I've done it. Without even thinking, did you like the fish? No, I didn't like it. I can't say that. That's a criticism against my wife.
That's not a mistake.
She made it. It's a mistake. I didn't mean to. I wasn't thinking. It was a mistake. If I would have thought about it, I would have. No. Let me think. It was not. It was quite nice. I like the chicken better. Whatever it was, but by mistake, I didn't mean to tell her that I didn't like her fish. Right. So even by mistake, person needs to still work. Vim Ken, and if so. Rav Arush is being very straight with us. Kal v'chomer l'kol echad v'chad, all the more so for you guys out there. Each and every one. She'tzarech le'abot b'shinun ha'dvarim v'tfila u'kol nekuda. That a person needs to increase his review on these things and his prayer on every point. Hareini mevarech kol ba'al, I hereby bless every husband, says Rav Arush. Shikabel al atzmo l'lmod sefer there, that he will take upon himself to learn this book, b'hatmada continuously, v'lachzur alav, and to go back on it, l'kol pachot pan b'chodesh, at least once a month, sheyizkeh l'shalom bayit amiti, that he will merit to have true shalom bayit, levanim sadikim, children that are sadikim, l'osher, happiness and osher wealth, lulokol tu bazer ubava, and all the good things, amen sala. Right? Only through going over the book, reviewing it, can a person expect to have shalom bayit. Not by reading it once, not even by sitting in this class for I don't know how long we were, Baruch Hashem, or not even halfway through, we've been going for like 7 months. So 6 months of daily lessons, it's still not going to be enough. Right? We're going to have to go back, remind ourselves at least once a month to pick the book up off the shelf, flick through it.
But it means that read all the sefer once a month?
Well, that's ideal. A person should at least remind themselves there is such a thing as Shalom Bayit, and that there are rules and principles, and I shouldn't forget, oh yeah, the main things, never to criticize, always put my wife in first place, not to give and not to take, at least to remember the rules. If I forget the rules, then I'm going to find myself in a dark place. And you don't want to find myself there.
I heard
very hard to get out of.
I heard him in the place down with the cassette of Rabbi Arush,
that
he says that if you mekayim this sefer, even you married to the devil,
k'nav shalom bayit.
You have a geshmak shalom bayit.
Right. Nachon. Doesn't matter who you're married to. Right? For those who are not yet married, and Bezrat Hashem will get married this year, all of you. Amen. Shalom Bayit is not a question of who you marry. It's a question of what you do in that marriage. It doesn't matter who you marry. She's perfect from the first day, or she's completely not perfect from the first day. Right? It's not about what you're given. It's not about the starting material. It's about how you work it. Right? You don't have Shalom Bayit because you married the perfect woman and we fit together like glue, and she's my yin to my yang and all that nonsense. Right? That's not Shalom Bayit. It's starting point, but Shalom Bayit is what I do every single day. It's the work. So I can be married to the most perfect woman. She's perfect for me. She's exactly everything I dreamed of. She ticks all the boxes on my list. And I have terrible Shalom Bayit. Terrible, terrible. So I'm not working on it at all. And vice versa. This woman, I don't even know where she came from. I don't know why the guy in the shidduch suggested her, but I don't even know why I got to marry her. I don't know what I was thinking. But she's completely not me. I've realized this is wrong. I don't know where she came from. She's Sephardi, I'm Ashkenazi, I don't understand her. She's Temani, I'm Litvak. Whatever you can say, completely wrong. She's female, I'm male. Everything's wrong, right? But if I'm working on the principle Shalom Bayit, everything's going to be wonderful. She's perfect. She will be perfect. Shalom Bayit is purely a function of my effort, what I'm doing to create it. It's nothing to do with her. Yes?
For an unmarried man, if they're looking at different matches, I mean, Hashem's going to give that person the same thing they need to work on regardless of who they marry, right? Because
I'm dim you're not, I'm in imaginations. If I think I need to pick the perfect one, not you, and I'm like, it's in my head, it's in my hands, my ability. You not. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything about the woman. Right? I didn't do the shidduch thing. I didn't do the shidduch thing where it was introduced by someone who said they were good, they would be a good match, and we met a few times. And no, I met my wife, and we were together before we got married, nearly a year.
You mean versus 3 weeks?
Right? And you believe me, I still didn't, right, I still didn't know. It's not like at the end of that period, I managed to work out everything I needed to work out and know that this is the right one. I didn't know anything. You're not going to find out anything new.
But the conclusion.
The perfect woman for you is whichever one you pick. Whichever one you pick is the one.
So you not have to go bichlal to say to the shatran, I need this or I need that.
No,
the story of the matronita. The matronita, she was saying, what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is to do? What is the occupation today? I don't remember what the great rabbi was telling him. To match that he's the matchmaker.
Yeah.
Oh, she said, oh, no problem. I'm know the she took her it's written in a midrash, Gemara or something. Then she took this servant of her and this slave of her, this mistress, this shikha, this eved. You and you, you and you.
Yeah.
They woke up, waking up in the morning, this without his eye outside, like, like, it was so, because she doesn't know to fit. She doesn't.
Okay.
So if it's like that, like the Rav Arush says that even though that you will get married to a devil, and it's only about you, so you not have to look.
No, you're correct. You don't have to look. Whether Hashem
what
gives
Matinet,
to you
what, no, what not
is who you're meant to be with. It's who you're meant to be with. And I'm just lengthening the process, right? Until I decide to put my hands up in the air and wave my white flag. It's literally that. At some point, you're going to put your hand up and wave your white flag and say, "Fine, I'll get married." I was with my wife, right? That we were going out together for a long time, and she'll tell you, she was ready to get married to me. I don't know why. After the second time she met me, she told her friends, "This is the guy. That's it. Finished. Deal done." Right? And it took me like nearly a year, right? What's a year? To put my white flag up, say, "All right, fine, let's get married." Right? 4 years. 4 years over there, right? And it's the same. It's the white flag. At some point, you're going to put the white flag and say, "Tov, I've been on enough shidduchs, I'll just take this one." At some point, even if it's the right woman and I'm with her, at some point, I pull my white flag and say, "Okay, fine, I'll go with it. I'm going to make the leap. I'm going to..." It's a white flag. I'm never going to get to that place where the bells are going to ring and the angels are going to come out and this is going to be the one and it's clear and it's... Well, it requires from me faith. Emunah. It requires from me, because I don't know. And if I think I know, I'm probably in some dream world, because I can't know. How can I know if this woman is the perfect one for me? How can I know what's going to be tomorrow? How can I know that I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and really not like her very much at all? That probably will happen, at least one day. Probably many days. Right? That's life. So there's no way I can, looking for this perfect thing that is a Hollywood movie, that, well, even the Hollywood movies are mostly in the book, but even the original Hollywood movies where everything was perfect, right? Doesn't exist. And at some point, I wave my white flag and I accept it doesn't exist. And I say, "Hashem, this isn't perfect, but you know what? I'm going with it. Let's go for it. I'm going to go anyway. And it's not perfect. And I'm accepting that when I put my white flag up. This is not perfect." And it just depends at what point I'm putting my white flag up. What point I'm saying, "Hashem, I'm trusting you, I'm going to go for it," right? And the more person that has emunah, they trust in Hashem. That Hashem is not going to mess him up. Hashem's not playing jokes with me. Hashem's not playing games with me. That he's not going to give me the wrong wife. When I realize that and I put my trust in him, I'm going to say, "Fine, let's go for it." And that could be the first shidduch, or it could be on the 10th. And it might be the first shidduch after 14 years. Or it could be on the 10th after 3 years. But at some point, I'm going to say, "Hashem, I trust you. Let's do it." And your wife is going to say, "Thank God, about time." Right? Because she's already way ahead of me in terms of the emunah trust thing. She's like, yeah, fine. And she knows that I'm not perfect. And she's not expecting me to be perfect. Right? She's already accepted that. But I'm not there. I'm in the looking for perfect box. And if it's not exactly perfect, right? Her left finger on her left hand is a bit... It's not ideal. I was like looking for a woman with hands who were like, and this one is a bit, she's got a little bit of a, like the nails, like, oh, I don't know what she did as a kid, and it's just, it's not, there's something, it's not ideal, it's not, there's something wrong, right? It's not. And Hashem's going to put that into me, because Hashem's not going to be the, give me the gift of my wife without some test. You don't get a gift of a wife, and I'm actually the biggest gift that you're ever going to get, right? In many reasons, for the good and for the difficult. It's the biggest gift you're going to get. Right? You're not going to get that without some work on your part. And the work on your part is going to be emunah, it's going to be trust.
But I think, like, we also, the woman makes the man. So, is it so, you should have been, it's like, the woman has an effect upon the man in a way. So, when someone's dating, should they also be cognizant of how that person, you know, what kind of person being around that woman makes you, turns you into, really? Is that irrelevant?
I would say the relevant thing is if you're happy. If when you're together you're happy, that's it. Right? There's nothing else really. If it makes you happy to be with her, then that's it. Right? Everything else you're going to fix, you're going to work on. If you're relaxed, you're yourself, you're happy, you can speak your mind, you're relaxed, you're happy, that's it. That's a good sign that there's a kesher, that everything's good. Apart from that, I won't worry. Tom, anything else? Otherwise, we'll finish there and start the new chapter. Bezrat Hashem.